WNCW presents this week's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. My name is Paul Foster. Our focus this week, the Center for Cultural Preservation, presenting a new documentary on the River Heroes of the South called Guardians of Our Troubled Waters. My guest is David Weintraub, director of this film. He's also the executive director of the Center for Cultural Preservation. David, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Many of you may recognize that name. We've had a chance to talk with David in the past. He's been a part of other documentaries. He's a award-winning director. And David, before we go into the details about your new project, remind everyone about the Center for Cultural Preservation, where you're located, and your mission.
We're based in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Mission is to record the living histories of the Southern Appalachians and work to foster continuance. We have a Mountain Elder Wisdom Project where we do oral histories with mountain elders in 24 counties throughout North Carolina and beyond. Some of the fruits of that work is documentary films, just like this one.
I'm going to let you go ahead and tell everyone when and where the world premieres of Guardians of Our Troubled Waters will take place. Before we conclude today, we'll certainly recap those dates, times, and locations again.
World premiere is scheduled for Thursday, June 20th at 7 o'clock at Blue Ridge Community College Thomas Auditorium, the Blue Ridge campus in Flat Rock, and on the 22nd at the North Carolina Arboretum, the Education Center, and the 23rd at White Horse Black Mountain. But both of those showings are at 7:30 p.m.
Well, the title of the documentary tells us a lot, but what actually does this film chronicle? Take us back to the time period and what was going on.
I guess it goes back 13,000 years with the Cherokee and their sacred, their relationship with waterways. They believed every body of water was sacred, and so they treated it just like a child might treat a mother or father, or likewise how a parent would treat a kid. That sacred relationship continued as the pioneers came to the mountains. There was baptisms in the river. Wilma Dykeman talked about the spiritual connection that people had with their springs. That was your lifeblood. It was the lifeblood of the community and the center of where you lived and how you connected with your community was your sources of water. But things changed. Logging, the railroads came into western North Carolina, East Tennessee, and, of course, all the country. Logging followed soon after. And then all of a sudden, our waterways became moving cesspools where you could smell the river far longer than before you got to the river. They were brown. They were stinky. Elders telling me the French Broad River, if you even considered a baptism in the French Broad, it was a death wish. It was impossible because it was a dead stream. Nothing lived there. Nobody would consider paddling or swimming or, God forbid, have a brewery using that water. You know, being in this place where we have bountiful sources of water, we take for granted so often. When we go from point A to point B, living our lives, we don't realize how many dozens of streams and rivers and tributaries that we cross, what happens to those streams.
It's my understanding that this was a documentary, certainly, on your mind going back for a long time.
I've been thinking about this film for a long time because I grew up downwind from a landfill. When you pass municipal sources of water, again, you could smell them long before you actually got to them. So living here, I just took such an interest in that because when you don't have something, it's you feel blessed when it's around you. And, you know, today we can float, paddle, or swim down the French Broad or Mills River or the Green or any number of streams and rivers, but we forget how fragile they are. One of the things I thought was important to chronicle were the heroes who stood up, talked to a number of elders who said, people just kind of assumed that all rivers were brown and stinky. That was just the nature of rivers, generations of people. But you had heroes like Wilma Dykeman, a name that I hope resonates with most people who are hearing this program. She was the Rachel Carson of the mountains. Her publication of the book, The French Broad, came out in 1955, 6 years before Silent Spring. It was a clarion call for people to wake up to what was happening, to the destruction around them. It made no common sense, and it was a death wish for ourselves. if we didn't clean up our rivers and streams. And she didn't just write about it. She became an activist. And unfortunately, it took 40 years before that call resonated to people, because she was looking particularly at the French Broad. She alerted people and woke people up. And finally, after the Clean Water Act and activism on both sides of the French Broad, people rose up and said, we can't take this anymore. The price of prosperity cannot be killing our ecosystem and our own people. These stories, to me, are so valuable. Wilma Dykeman, and that's one of the many stories. The plans back in 1934, when the TVA was founded, Tennessee Valley Authority, they had plans to dam up every tributary of the French Broad. And so in the 60s, they had planned for 14 little dams throughout western North Carolina. So basically, that would have put Rosamond and Crab Creek and Swannanoa and Mills River and Madison County, Forks of Ivy, all these different places underwater to create these recreational lakes. Again, we had a situation where farmers, newcomers, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals all banded together because of their love for the rivers and streams. Baptists, who had that deep connection to the baptisms in the river, and you had people who had no religious affiliation at all, people like Charles Taylor, who nobody would mistake for an environmentalist, was one of the heroes because he was one of the few politicians who was willing to stand up against the TVA. After many, many years of fighting, the Upper French Broad Defense Association took on the TVA. TVA had never lost a battle. This was their first swan song. So these were some of the heroes that saved the French Broad. Thousands and thousands of acres of prime farmland, thousands of people evicted from their homes, 74 miles of river canalized to make recreational lakes for the TVA. How different things would have been today if those people hadn't stood up.
And David, I know there's another significant female who was standing up for the Everglades.
In South Florida, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and her battle to protect the Everglades. Draining the swamp is a term that people think a lot about today, given some particular politicians who've coined that phrase, but going back to the 1900s, draining the Everglades was considered the progress, major source of drinking water for the people who live there. The Everglades is turning around slowly but surely.
Sounds like an amazing story. Guardians of Our Troubled Waters, the new documentary from the Center for Cultural Preservation, and our guest right now who has put this film together, David Weintraub. You know, here in western North Carolina, and so many people love to visit, so many people keep coming here from other parts of the country and now calling this home. They want to be in the water. They want to find nature as it's intended to be. As we move forward into the future when it comes to waterways and being able to enjoy them and keep them healthy and safe.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that although we don't have major industry on the river like we might have had a number of years ago, we still have that kind of mindset today of how do we use this body of water rather than how do we appreciate it for its intrinsic value. I mean, people aren't throwing beer bottles around and tires as much as they used to, but now they're throwing their water bottles around and damaging stream banks and not really thinking about the consequences of their actions. What I hope the film helps to do is to reconnect people to the value of our rivers and streams and how much they give us. We still have many issues. Sedimentation, coal ash. You know, back east we have the hog lagoons that overflow every time there's a major rain. But we also have the new heroes today, and I think that's really such an important part of the story too. The people who picked up the torch and are running with it, the land conservancies, the environmental advocates, the green businesses who are concerned about making sure that what they do has no impacts on our rivers and streams. And so reconnecting to their value. Understand that our rivers and streams are just as much as our lifeblood today as they were 13,000 years ago when it was just the Cherokee and several other tribes here.
Guardians of Our Troubled Waters, it will first debut on June 20th. And David, if you don't mind, run through that list again.
The film will premiere at Blue Ridge Community College in Flat Rock on the 20th of June, 7 p.m. North Carolina Arboretum on the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. and at White Horse Black Mountain on the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. You go onto our website, saveculture.org, S-A-V-E, culture.
Continued success. Our guest this morning, David Weintraub of the Center for Cultural Preservation, getting ready to debut the new documentary, Guardians of Our Troubled Waters. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
That's the Friday feature from WNCW, also available as a podcast on our website at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.